نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدني علما. سورة ملك. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فتور. Blessed is he in whose hand is the dominion and he is able to do all things. Who has created death and life that he may test you which of you is best indeed? And he is the Almighty, the All-Forgiving. Who has created the seven heavens, one above another? You can see no fault in the creation of the Most Gracious. Then look again. Can you see any rift? Then look again, and yet again, your sight will return to you in a state of humiliation and worn out. We find Surah Mulk is one of the most important surahs in the Quran. And the reason for this is that as we near the end of the Quran, you'll have noticed that the surahs are becoming more and more forceful. More and more powerful. It is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increasing the intensity so that we realize the urgency of obeying right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts by saying, Tabarakallazi, Alhamdulillah. Why? Because He is Rabbil Alameen. Tabarakallazi, blessed is the one, biyadihil mulku, in whose hand is the dominion. Wahuwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And He is able to do all things. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. See, the surah starts with an assertion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's complete sovereignty, of His power over all forms of creation. And Allah answers the question which people most often ask, why were we created? What is the purpose of this life? What is the purpose of all this suffering, all this pain that we see around us? Why? So Allah tells us why. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. Who created death and life. Now this is really interesting that death comes before life. See, we who are so obsessed with this worldly life that we forget our death. We don't want to think about our death. Be prepared for death when it comes. So Allah too reminds us, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. Who created death and life? Why? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. So that He could test you. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Which of you is best in deeds? وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. And He is the Almighty, the All-Forgiving. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a very simple metaphor that we can all understand. Allah says that this life of ours is a test. Now imagine an examination hall. And in that examination hall there are students and there are invigilators. Now it's an open book test. And everyone has been given the book which they have to use. There are some compulsory questions and there are some bonus questions. That if you do them, if you attempt them, you will be rewarded for that. Now we've all been given a model paper, the paper of the best student of all, that if you can emulate that paper, if you can reproduce that paper, then you have truly succeeded. Now what do you see in an examination hall? Suppose you walk in an examination hall. Not everyone will be writing feverishly. Some will be writing feverishly, some will be doodling, some will be thinking about what they should write, some will be looking here and there, some will be fidgeting, regardless of how much time they've been given. See, this is the crux of the matter. We don't know how much time we have all been given. Some have been given 70 years for this examination paper. Some a mere 20 years. Allahu alam. Allah knows best. So what then do we have to do? Allah tells us, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. This is what your focus has to be. We're all in that examination hall. The invigilators are the kiramun katibin, our recording angels. The compulsory questions are the farais which Allah has imposed upon us. And the bonus mark questions are the nawafil, the voluntary acts of worship. Whose is the model paper? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnah. Which book do we have to use if we wish for success? The Quran. Now Allah says, what should your focus be during this examination? That I don't want to think about it? No, I'm not ready for this exam? أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Which of you? Whether male or female, young or old, black or white, rich or poor, أَيُّكُمْ, which of you? No discrimination here, true equality. No racism. Which of you, ahsanu amala, is the best in deeds? No, not which one of you obtains that minimum pass mark. Which of you manages to come first? Which of you manages to be amongst the ranks of the sadiqoon? Ahsan, the best deed. Now let's understand this concept of ahsan amal. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to read salat. Now some don't bother to pray their salat. And some read salat but they read it late. Or maybe they read it qaza. And some read salat but they're not bothered about the wuzu. And some read salat but they read it really fast. And some read salat and after reading their salat, they ruin their salat because they start gossiping and backbiting and lying and cheating. And there's one person who reads his salat with attention to purity, with attention to khushu', that inner sensitivity before Allah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Successful have been the believers. Which believers? Those who read their prayers? No, those who are humble in their prayers, who are focused in their prayers, not distracted, not looking here and there, not fidgeting, yawning, or languidly praying. Which prayer do you think is the most acceptable? So if you ask someone to get you a glass of water, and someone doesn't get it at all, then you ask someone else, and they get it, but they get it 3 hours later. Then you ask someone else, and they get the water, but they get it in a dirty glass. Allah has told us to read salat with attention to wuzu and purity. But if we're not concerned about our wuzu, if we're not concerned about our purity, it's like getting the water in that dirty glass. Then if we don't bother to pray at all, it's like we've not even bothered to get that glass of water. Then if after praying, we start gossiping and cheating and lying, it's like we've broken the glass of water after getting it. All these deeds, Allah says, أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Focus on perfection. Focus on the best that you can give Allah. Don't give Him the worst. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. How does Allah conclude this ayat? He is the Almighty with the power to punish those who don't obtain that pass mark, who weren't interested, who didn't realize it's an examination hall, who ignored the facts before them. Al-Aziz. He is the Almighty for them. Allah doesn't say He's Ghafoor Rahim for such people. That, oh, they didn't bother to pray, doesn't matter, Allah will forgive them. Al-Aziz, He is the Almighty. How does this surah start? With an assertion of His supreme sovereignty. Biyadihil mulk. Remember, this is the King of all kings who is taking this exam. It's not a worldly exam that you can flunk in. You know, you can pull a few strings and get promoted. Huwa al-Aziz, He is the Almighty. Al-Ghafoor, and He is the all-forgiving. If someone still makes some mistakes despite trying their best, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His infinite mercy, will forgive them their shortcomings and inshallah promote them to Jannah. Alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawati tibaqa. Allah says, He is the Almighty, the all-forgiving, who has created the 7 heavens one above another. You can see no fault in the creation of Ar-Rahman. Now what's the link between the verses? One minute Allah is telling us we're all in an examination hall. And the next minute Allah is talking about the creation of the heavens. The link is that look at Allah's creation. Look at the perfection of Allah's deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just say that, well, I'll make the second best. Everything He's given us has been the best. So doesn't that mean that we should respond in a similar way? When Allah has given us nothing but beauty, nothing but perfection, out of sheer gratitude, shouldn't we also try and respond to Him with the best that we have? Look at the creation of Ar-Rahman. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقَ الرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ. You can see no fault in the creation of Ar-Rahman. And think about your own deeds. Then look again. Can you see any rifts? Then look again and yet again. Your sight will return to you in a state of humiliation and worn out. And indeed we have adorned the nearest heaven with lamps. Look at the beauty of Allah's universe. And we have made such lamps as mizars to drive away the devils. And we have prepared for them the torment of the blazing fire. And as for those who disbelieve in their Lord, for them is the torment of hell. Now the choice is ours. People who deny that this exam is taking place. No, we want to study from another book. This Quran is not good enough for us. We'll figure out a way for ourselves. Allah says those who disbelieve in their Lord, for them is the torment of hell. And worse indeed is that destination. When they are cast therein, they will hear the terrible drawing in of its breath as it blazes forth. تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْزِ. it almost bursts up with fury. Every time a group is cast therein, its keeper will say, Alam yatikum nadir? Did not there come to you a warner? Now why will the angels ask them this? Won't the angels know that the prophets came and they came to the whole of mankind? The angels do know, but this question will be asked to increase their bitterness, to increase their regrets and frustration. As they will respond, قَالُوا بَلَىٰ They will say, yes indeed. A warner came to us, but we denied him. And we said Allah never sent down anything of revelation. You are only in great error. And they will say, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ وَنَعْقِلُ Had we but listened or used our brains, we would not have been among the dwellers of the blazing fire. On that day they will regret not having used their intellect. And interestingly enough, most people regard those who give everything for Islam as losers, as fools, as crazy, unbalanced people. But Allah says on that day they will acknowledge that had we used our brains, we would have realized the true reality. فَأَعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ Then they will confess their sin. So away with the dwellers of the blazing fire. See how Allah dismisses them contemptuously, just as they dismissed Allah and Allah's book and Allah's prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, contemptuously in this world. Allah just dismisses them. Away with the dwellers of the blazing fire. Don't even think about them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ Indeed, those who fear their Lord unseen, theirs will be forgiveness and a great reward. Fear their Lord unseen. That's the greatest test. To remember we are in an examination hall, even if it doesn't seem like it. To remember the invigilators who are sitting beside us, even if we cannot see them. To remember that at the end of the day we will be given a report card. That's the test. Indeed, those who fear their Lord unseen, theirs will be forgiveness for any shortcomings and a great reward. And whether you keep your talk secret or disclose it, إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ Indeed, he is the all-knower of what is in the hearts of men. And this is very important because sometimes we find people who say, no, no, your heart should be pure and Allah knows how much I love him and I'll just explain to Allah. Allah says, whether you openly are claiming something or you're hiding something, know that you cannot hide from Allah. And sometimes we manage to deceive ourselves and we manage to delude ourselves, no, no, I would have obeyed Allah. But for this, Allah reminds us, he knows the secrets of the heart. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ Should not he who has created know? See, just like a mother always knows what the small child is going through, even if the child is pretending he's not been hurt, even if the child is holding back his tears, the mother knows the pain the child is going through. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose love for us is more than 70 mothers, Allah asks us simply, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ Should not he who has created know? Whatever false excuses you might be claiming, whatever you might be asserting, doesn't Allah know what you're really thinking? وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ And he is the most subtle, the fully acquainted. He it is who has made the earth subservient to you. So walk in the path thereof. وَكُنُوا مِن رِزْقِهِ And eat of his provision. And remember, to him will be the resurrection. Again and again in the Quran, Allah reminds us of the blessings of the earth that he has placed for us. Now in Islam we find that dunya is not forbidden. We're not told that renounce the earth, go sit in a cave worshipping Allah. Allah says, eat of the provision thereof. But remember that the journey is back to Allah. What are we told of Ibadur Rahman? Ibadur Rahman illadheena yamshuna ala al-ardi hawna. Those slaves of Ar-Rahman who walk on the earth with softness. They don't abuse the earth's resources. They use the earth's resources, but they don't abuse them. And Allah says, وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ The journey is back to Allah. This beautiful earth that you adore, you worship, you think you're going to be here forever? Don't be deluded. You're going back to Allah. Do you feel secure then that he who is over the heaven will not cause the earth to sink with you? And then it should quake? And look at the earthquakes that are happening with such frightening intensity and frequency all around us. Allah says, do you feel secure from my punishment? Do you think that this earth of yours will protect you? We cannot even avert an earthquake. Or do you feel secure that he who is over the heaven will not send against you a violent whirlwind? Then you shall know how terrible has been my warning. And indeed those before them denied the messengers of Allah. فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ Then how terrible was my punishment. أفلم يروا إلى الطير فوقهم صافات ويقبضن ما يمسكهن إلا الرحمن إنه بكل شيء بصير. Do they not see the birds above them, spreading out their wings and folding them in? None oppose them except Ar-Rahman. Indeed, he is the all-seer of everything. Why are the birds mentioned here? A reminder of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can use anything in his creation for punishing mankind. Remember the story of Abraha and the elephant when he brought an army of elephants and Allah sent an army of birds against them. Now Allah says, none oppose them except Ar-Rahman. Now if you look at the birds and these amazing migratory journeys that they go upon, we find that there's this bird called the mutton bird which lives in the Pacific and journeys over 15,500 miles. And do you know the formation those birds fly in the figure 8? Subhanallah, who's taught them to do this? Who's programmed this? None oppose them except Ar-Rahman. Indeed, he is watching everything. Who is he besides the most gracious? That can be an army to you to help you. An earthquake comes, what happens? You're running around for supplies, for provisions, to try and restore the damages. Who is he besides Ar-Rahman that can help you? The disbelievers are nothing but delusions. Who is he that can provide for you if he should withhold his provision? No, but they continue to be in pride and they flee from the truth. أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ أَحْدَى أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Is he who walks prone on his face more rightly guided, or he who walks upright on the straight path? Now two images are given to us here. Imagine a man with his shoulders hunched and looking down. He can't see in front of him. He can't see to the left, to the right. He doesn't know what's ahead of him. He's just looking down at his feet as he's walking along. And imagine another man who's walking upright. His vision encompasses all around him. Which is more guided? The moment's vision encompasses this dunya and the hereafter. He lives in this dunya. He uses the dunya's resources. But he doesn't forget the hereafter. And the kafir and the munafiq, the one who is deluded by the dunya, his vision is so narrow that it's just limited to this world. And his marriage and his children and his career and his job. And at the end of the day, it's over. Tell them it is Allah who has created you and endowed you with hearing and seeing in hearts. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Little thanks do you give. How do we thank Allah? Just by repeating Subhanallah, Subhanallah? No. We thank Allah by using the faculties which Allah has given us in Allah's power. Tell them, it is He who has created you on the earth and to Him shall you be gathered. And they say, when will this promise come to pass? If you are telling the truth, قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Tell them, the knowledge of its exact time is with Allah alone, and I am only a plain warner. But when they will see it approaching, the faces of those who disbelieve will change and turn black with sadness and in grief. See, this black that Allah mentions again and again reflects their anguish and their darkness. Their inner darkness will appear on their faces. And it will be said to them, هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ. This is what you were calling for. Say to them, tell me, if Allah destroys me and those with me, or He bestows His mercy upon us, who can save the disbelievers from a painful torment? In other words, it makes no difference to you whether the Prophet ﷺ or the Muslims are destroyed or saved. Who will save you from the painful torment? See, Allah is again and again exhorting us, think about yourself. You're so busy passing judgments about others. قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنِ. Tell them, He is Ar-Rahman. He is the most forgiving. آمَنَّا بِهِ. In Him we believe. وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. And in Him we put our trust. So you will come to know who it is that is in manifest error. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاؤُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Tell me, if all your water were to sink away, who then can supply you with flowing water? Now this surah ends with a mention of water. You might wonder, why does Allah mention water at the end? Because the end of water means the end of life. And the end of water means there is no way that man can go on living. Why is earth the only habitable planet? Because it's the only planet with water. So Allah says, think about it. Where is your source of life itself coming from? From Rabbul Alameen. سورة القلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نون والقلم وما يسطرون. ما أنت بنعمة ربك بمجنون. وإن لك لأجرا غير ممنون. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. فستبصر ويبصرون بأيكم المفتون. نون والقلم وما يسطرون. By the pen and by what they write. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the pen, mentions man's knowledge, but Allah reminds us before mentioning that, noon, حروف المقطعات, none knows the meaning but Allah. So Allah is reminding us right in the beginning of the surah, ما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا. O man, you have been given but little of knowledge, by the pen and by what they write. We find in Islam amazing emphasis placed upon the importance of education. Worldly knowledge is not forbidden to the mu'min. We look at the early Muslims and we find that they made amazing contributions to science and medicine. They didn't restrict their knowledge to the Quran and the Sunnah alone. But we find at the same time that great emphasis is placed upon the acquiring of this knowledge, al-ilm, knowledge of the Quran and knowledge of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, the gist of which was that whoever sets upon a path in which he seeks knowledge, Allah makes easy for him a path from the paths of Jannah, and the angels lay their wings before him in order to please the student. And he went on to say that the alim, the true scholar, the one who studies, acts upon it and conveys, everything in the heavens and the earth seek forgiveness for him. And وَالْحِيْتَانُ فِي جَوْفِ الْمَا, even the fishes in the midst of the sea pray for the scholar's forgiveness. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that the superiority of the alim, the scholar, over the worshipper is the superiority of the full moon over the rest of the stars. And he said that the scholars are the heirs of the prophets, because the prophets did not leave behind any money. What did they leave behind? This knowledge, this ilm. So Allah says, وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ, by the pen and what they write. مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ, by the grace of your Lord, you are not mad. And this was the constant allegation that the Prophet ﷺ had to face. Allah says, you are not mad, and indeed for you will be an endless reward. In other words, don't be intimidated. Don't falter because of their allegations and their foolish remarks. إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, you are on an exalted standard of character. When we look at the Prophet ﷺ's sunnah, we find a man who fulfilled every role to perfection, whether it was the role of teacher, whether the role of general, whether the role of ruler, whether the role of friend, husband, father, in every role. As Hazrat Aisha once said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, his conduct was the Qur'an. So it's not enough just to preach to people and just to tell them something and you're doing something else yourself. He was the Qur'an walking. He was the epitome of the Qur'an. We find, for instance, that Hazrat Anas, his servant, once said, for 10 years I served him. He never once said oof to me. He never blamed me by saying, why did you do something or why didn't you do this? And this is the true test. The way we behave towards our subordinates. The way we behave towards our family members. إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, you are on an exalted standard of character. And what have we been told? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, there is for you in the Messenger of Allah a beautiful example. فَسَتُبْصِرُ وَيُبْصِرُونَ, you will see and they will see. بِأَيِّكُمُ الْمَفْتُونَ, which of you is afflicted with madness? How many of the enemies of the Prophet ﷺ are known to us today? We know the names of a couple of them, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Abu Sufyan. And Abu Sufyan later on became a Muslim. But do we remember the names of the others? No. Allah says, you will see and they will see which of you is afflicted with madness. Which of you achieves world fame. Which of you achieves that enduring reputation of honor and respect. Inna Rabbaka, because indeed your Lord, he knows best him who has gone astray from his path. And he knows best those who are guided. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum, the most honorable of you with Allah is the most Allah conscious. See, Allah is teaching us not to value people's opinion, not to go by what people say, and that if people admire me, then I'll serve Islam. And if people let me do it, then I'll do it. Allah says, no. People's opinion have never been the yardstick. Indeed, your Lord knows best him who has gone astray from his path, and he knows best those who are guided. فَلَا تُتِعِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. So do not obey those who deny. Look at the link between the verses. Allah says, focus on pleasing me, ignore people, and don't compromise, don't apologize. Don't fall into the trap of compromising your deen for the sake of people. Do not obey those who deny. And denial is in different aspects. Some deny by their words and some deny by their actions. وَتُّرَ تُدْهِنُ. They want you to compromise so they too can compromise. You'll have noticed that it's people who don't pray themselves who are most vehement in their denunciation of people who pray and of the, you know, uselessness of prayer. It's women who don't do hijab themselves who are most violent against women who are doing hijab. Why? Because they feel guilty, so they want to cover up. Allah is warning us here. Look, the real reason that they're fighting so much with you and they're trying to stop you is because they themselves want to go on sinning. وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَّهِينٍ. Do not obey everyone who swears much and is a liar. By Allah, Allah knows how pure my heart is. Allah knows how much I love him. Allah says he is a liar. A slanderer, going about with slanders, hinderer of the good, transgressor, sinful, cruel, and moreover baseborn. Look at this category of sins Allah recites. Before you fall into this person's trap, just analyze him and see how he himself is towards others. What is making this man sin? What is giving this person courage to disobey? أَمْكَانَ ذَا مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. Because he has wealth and children. So if someone's been given wealth and children, they assume that they must be doing something right. That Allah must be pleased with them, even if they're disobeying Allah. Even if they're sinning repeatedly. أَمْكَانَ ذَا مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And this is why, for some people, wealth and children are a curse, not a blessing. When our verses are recited to him, he says tales of the men of old. سَنَسِمُهُ عَلَى الْخُرْطُومِ. We shall brand him on the snout. In other words, on the nose. Because he is stuck up. This is a symbol of his false pride. Allah says, I will humiliate him. إِنَّا بَلَوْنَاهُمْ. Indeed, we have tested them. In other words, this wealth and these children were not given to him because Allah was pleased with him or because Allah loved him or Allah didn't mind that he was sinning. They were given to him so Allah could test him. And Allah gives us an example and tells us a story so we can understand better how is it that Allah tests us by means of wealth. Indeed, we have tested them as we tested the people of the garden when they swore to pluck the fruits of the garden in the morning, وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ, without saying if Allah wills. They did not say inshallah, but we say inshallah when we're not planning to do something. Or say inshallah. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, without saying inshallah, if Allah wills, in other words, it's not just words that you repeat. It has a meaning behind it. A recognition. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That there is no power or authority except by Allah's will. That I will read the Quran, inshallah, if Allah wills. If Allah gives me the strength, gives me the energy, gives me the life to do that. I will serve Islam, inshallah, if Allah wills, if Allah permits me. And this is the greatest recognition there is. So they did not realize that. And what happened? Then there passed by in the garden a visitation, a fire from your Lord at night, and burnt it while they were asleep. And only today in the newspaper there's an account of how this terrible fire broke out in Mari. See, we cannot avert these sudden disasters. We can't avert or even predict these sudden calamities. There passed by in the garden a fire from your Lord at night and burnt it while they were asleep. For أَصْبَحَتْ كَالصَّرِيمِ. Allah simply says, so it became black by the morning, like a pitch dark night in complete ruins. Then they called out to one another. Now these people don't realize what's happened. As soon as the morning broke, saying, go to your tilth in the morning if you would pluck the fruit. When man starts thinking he's earning everything from his own blood, sweat and tears, if people say, oh, I earned this from my own blood, sweat and tears and my own effort, Allah says, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Do what you will, try as you might, there is no power except as much as Allah allows. Saying, go to your tilth in the morning if you would pluck the fruits. So they departed, conversing in secret low tones, saying, no poor man shall enter upon you into it today. And they went in the morning with strong intention, قادرين, thinking that they have the power. Now this is very interesting. When we turn away from Allah, when we become arrogant and rely upon our power rather than Allah's power, what happens? Not only do we start violating Allah's right of ibadah, we start violating human rights as well. And you start thinking to yourself, well, I've earned this myself from my own efforts, so why should I have to give it to some poor person? Why can't he work for himself? Let him earn it for himself. This is what happens. When you start trying to deprive Allah of His right, then we end up depriving people of their rights as well. Because arrogance breeds cruelty, and it breeds insensitivity, this callousness. So they said, well, we've done it all ourselves, so why should we give it to these poor people? But when they saw the garden, they said, indeed we have gone astray. They couldn't believe it. No, maybe we've lost the way. Maybe this is another place. Then they said, no, indeed we are deprived. قَالَ أَوْسَتُهُمْ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ لَوْلَا تُصَبِّحُونَ The best among them said, did I not tell you, why do you not glorify Allah? So then one of them said, I warned you, if only we had listened. They said, glory to our Lord. And this is man. In times of prosperity, we strut around thinking we've done it ourselves. إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي As Qarun said, I've been given this wealth because of knowledge that I possess. My own merit, my own efforts, my own labors. And then, when it's taken away, then they turn to Allah. Subhana Rabbina, glory be to our Lord. Indeed, we have been wrongdoers. Then they turned one against another, blaming each other. And what happens when you're trying to cast the blame on everyone else? They said, woe to us, indeed we were transgressors. We hope that our Lord will give us in exchange a better garden than this. Truly we turn to our Lord. How contemptible man is. And we can apply this to our life as well. When things are going fine, we don't pray. We don't turn to Allah. Because we need Allah all times, but we don't realize it. And the first thing that goes wrong, we groveling before Him, cringing before Him. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ الْعَذَابُ Such is the punishment. It can come upon you unawares, unexpectedly, suddenly. One night, everything's gone. وَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ But wake up, people. The torment of the hereafter is even greater. Don't just focus on worldly problems. Remember that the azab of the hereafter is greater than this. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ If they but knew.